Hey, everybody. We're back again with another episode of If You Can Stop Laughing, Big Talk About Small Business. I'm here. This is Mark Zweig with my buddy Eric Howerton.
What's up, Mark?
Everything's up, man.
Did you look really, really good today, man?
Thank you. So do you.
Thank you.
I like that smile on your. I know that new truck you just bought really makes you happy.
Yeah. No, it's nice. Beast. It's nothing better than having a new ride, man.
Yeah, especially one that could like push anything off the road.
Yeah, that felt like that. Where at stop signs, I always go first.
You get a Cybertruck or something?
No.
It's an F-450 dually, and it weighs about 9,000 pounds, probably.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
It's a beast.
It's beautiful. It's, I mean, comfortable. Actually, I've been really impressed. Like, I just kind of keep admiring the design and the engineers. You know, it gives you appreciation for people thinking about what they do. I imagine it was... Didn't get done as fast as what maybe you and I would like.
No, never
does. But the end result is quite marvelous. Well done, Ford.
I'm a Ford man anyway. Yeah. I like Ford. My brother's ad agency, WPP Group, they used to handle, they may still handle all Ford's advertising.
Oh, yeah.
It was a couple $1 billion revenue account, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Annually.
Big account, man.
It had like 30 different companies working for Ford. You always had to drive a Ford. You couldn't drive on the Ford lot without a Ford.
Right? Oh, man.
You'd be in big trouble.
Bro.
You know?
Yeah, not cool.
No.
Yeah.
But, hey, the other person we have here with us, who I guess I should introduce, is my buddy Gavin McGee, who was one of my former students.
That's right. Yep. Probably 2018, I want to say.
Somewhere right there.
Yeah.
Time flies for me, Gavin. I can't remember anything. Honestly, I can barely remember when my kids were born.
I don't believe that.
But thank God my wife does that for me. But yeah, Gavin has been out now for 6 years.
Yep.
Worked at his stint in corporate America, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, startup world for a short segment and short burst.
That's
there,
right. But, yep. Right before doing your own thing.
That's right.
And now he is the publisher of the Fayetteville City Lifestyle magazine, which is really nice. I think you're doing a wonderful job with it. What are we on, like issue 3 or 4 now?
Yeah, so this is issue 4, okay. The invest locally theme to the issue. So that's April. It's going to land, you know, it's typically lands that final week of the month in anticipation for April. So we're going to tell stories about embodying that theme. How do we invest locally? How are we conscious of where we're spending our time? And are we really investing in that Fayetteville community? So it's been unbelievable journey, and I'm excited to unpack it here. But thank you. Thank you both so much for allowing me on here. It's good to be.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, man.
I know we've met at Farmer's Table a number of times, so it's good to be in a podcast studio.
It is. So that was kind of missed the Gouda grits. A Farmer's Table while we sit here and talk. That delightful crispy bacon there.
Oh, yeah.
But no, other than that, so Gavin, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up going into the magazine business, a business that most people think is declining.
Right.
And or has declined.
Or, Eric and I speak from experience.
It sounds like
he started a magazine long ago, and then he and I, as a part of Zweig Group, we bought 6 magazines and then just like rode the revenue decline at an unbelievable pace.
Yeah.
But
hey, but we found ways. We moved some things off.
We made it work. There's always a way.
There's always a way.
I think I mean, I think I could start with it is digital also.
Yeah,
so that could be a good deal.
Well, that's the future for sure.
Yeah,
but it's the current. I mean,
right? But I mean, it's nice to hold a magazine in your hand.
Oh no, I've been wanting to touch it this whole time.
I got
touch it.
Touch it. How does it I'm feel? Touching it. It feels great.
Does it?
Feels like gosh dang something real.
Yeah, it's nice.
So, what do you think of the nice cover? The cover sticks out to people in that.
I think it's classy.
Yeah, man, it's cool.
I like your taste in graphics and all.
Yeah, it's nice. You got a good composition on here.
that would be, you know, our talented photographers and just piece together a patchwork team of young contractors that we're all very aligned with creating. And so I think that is truly the theme throughout the whole piece is, while you mentioned, you know, maybe the macro trend of print media and traditional outlets could be in the decline. I think when you get it in your hands and you feel the physicality of it and down to the cover of having that smooth, you know, smooth feeling, but really just the fact that it's different to have a physical marketing piece in your hands.
Yes, it is.
That isn't just a direct mail or flyer. So
absolutely agree. I mean, you know, I hope that, you know, with all the advent of digital and technology and AI and all that kind of stuff, that people, I think that there's going to be a the counterculture
resurgence. It's just like vinyl albums or something.
It's like everything. Yeah.
Once there's none of them, then the fact that you have it, it becomes more novel.
That's right.
Yeah, the decline of the distraction of all the stuff we used to get. Now we don't get any of it.
Well, it's like the whole statement here on the cover, invest locally, right? Yeah. Why does that, why is that important? Why do people even do it?
Right.
Because there's something about being able to go to a local place, local people, dealing business, you know, I mean.
Yeah, you feel like you're helping your community. You're all into that. That's why you're a big Walmart supporter.
Right. I love Walmart's the local, man.
Right. I get it.
Yeah.
Amazon is not local.
Right.
To our area. Mark,
I know, Eric. I think about you every time. You've given me several lectures on that. Every time I go on Amazon and I buy something, I have a
little. You think of me?
Yeah, I do. Good, a little tinge of guilt that I've gone to Walmart.
You should. You should feel shamed. You should feel shamed.
I do. I go to Walmart.com sometimes too.
And then, I feel like y'all are describing really the resurgence factor, and and I think print media can be highly effective if it is resonating with that direct end consumer. So when you open your mailbox. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm typically fairly excited to go to the mailbox throughout the month. And then when you have that cadence.
Well, mine's usually bills, so I'm not that excited.
Right.
Sometimes you get a check, though.
You don't want the bills that are red, but of course.
Mark, quit interrupting our guests. That's one of our rules.
Well, what's funny, though, is the first month this came out, so you're holding April. And when January launched, it was called the Founders Issue. Man, that thing could have flown in the wind. It was only 36 pages. So you got to start somewhere. Yeah. We started 36 pages. Could have blown away. Many were folded in the mailboxes. So I think we're smoothing out the delivery and the distribution. Maybe the carrier routes are starting to identify, hey, this is a consistent piece going to these homes.
Right.
But when that first one came out, I think there was some wide confusion on what is this Fayetteville publication. Okay, cool. It's going to happen once this whole year.
Right. Yeah.
We've now consistently landed, you know, up to April.
Sure.
And it's just been awesome to see the trend of just the routine of people getting excited about opening it up and shooting me a text saying, hey, read this issue and learned something new. And that's what it's all about. And just the craftiness of changing the stories, artwork, and the layout, that's going to keep us having that consumable content that's very engaging for the locals of Fayetteville.
Well, hopefully, too, it's more enduring. Like, you could have that sit there for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, where if it's electronic, it comes and it's gone.
It's true.
And it doesn't seem, you know, this is the kind of thing you can have on your coffee table and people are, or they might want to save it for the design ideas or an interview with a friend of theirs. So I think that's great. I also am thrilled that it's not just full of one picture after another of these cocktail parties for a public cause, which the one magazine locally has like 3 or 4 pages of that. And it's the same old bloated guys like me with the 30-year younger women toasting. You know what I mean? It's just like you just see so many of those. And this is different. Your content's got a little different feel to it.
Absolutely.
So what are you doing there?
Yeah. And you have it opened up to Velocero. So Mark Jackson, he's a local artist and just his studio is absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Absolutely beautiful art gallery there. Most people would look at the cover of this and say, hey, this looks like Bentonville. This looks like a art gallery that's outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas. But
it's not.
I think when we just look under our own noses, there's Fayetteville isn't a very eclectic, charming place for a reason. And those are the stories we want to source. I mean, mm-hmm. I think all the incumbents in the market have produced a really nice publication. I have to respect, you know, that there are
survived.
And, there's competitors out there. We're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to look for those stories, you know, in the brush and look to surface those lesser known, more rough around the edge stories that we can mm-hmm. send our writers out, can source it, can show people that this person lives in the community alongside you. And you may not have even known that Velsero Art Gallery is down the street in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you get interested? You don't have a journalism background.
No.
Not that I do of it.
Well, least. Yeah. So
tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. To circle back to
how you started out and education and all of it.
The discovery for Eric too. I mean, I don't have a journalism degree. I don't have a marketing degree. And I actually did an interview with Walden, and they're asking me questions about what the Walden School of Business meant to my career development. I think it's really picking up those elements along the way, depending on the business you pursue. So I know we've been talking and finished product and a more polished piece with our April product here. But to start, just a little bit about myself and not having any experience in publishing or journalism, to be quite frank. I'm the youngest of three boys, was from Kansas City originally. And my family was more in the medical space. And my dad grew up on a farm in Iowa, did some very honest work there. Baling
love
hay.
Those Iowans, man. They got great work ethic.
He's very much corn fed. So grew up on a farm there, was the first of his family really to move out and relocate to pursue a medical career path. And he established our whole family in Kansas City, so right in the Midwest. And that's really where we made our hub. So my oldest brother, he pursued the same career path, went into OBGYN, and he joined my dad's practice as well. Mm-hmm. So he took one for myself and my middle brother that we didn't have to pursue medicine because one of the brothers needed to go there.
Carry the family tradition on.
That's right. Yeah. And my mom was a speech pathologist too, and then full-time job became me and my two brothers. So she had a great career there too. And but just a little bit about how I was introduced to Fayetteville, that was actually through my middle brother. So I've mentioned this Zweig before. He was a landscape architect. And that was in 2013 when I first stepped down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm looking for schools. I looked at Kansas University, University of Iowa. Colorado State was my radical choice. And then Arkansas. I mean, there's a healthy pipeline of Kansas City natives that come down mm-hmm. to Arkansas. And at that time, they were doing a full in-state tuition for any bordering states.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't believe that's still the case today. It's
discounted, but it's not full from my understanding. But right. I don't take my word for it.
Right. So there's been some adaptation there. Yeah. Maybe it was getting flooded with too many of us people from Kansas, and they're getting tired of us. But
no, Texans, we got too many of them, but not not Kansans, no.
And right away, when I came down to visit my brother, I mean, Fayetteville is strikingly different mm-hmm. than Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City is, one could say there's similarities, there's some congruencies to Fayetteville, but Fayetteville, it has that small town charm, that small mm-hmm. southern town charm that you're looking for. And I certainly knew that quickly rose to the top of my charts for where I want to go to school. But it also was sort of building in the background of somewhere that I'd love to start a career because there's so much opportunity here.
There
it's
is.
It's an accessible market, you know, just highly motivated, productive individuals that want to curate a great place to live in Northwest Arkansas mm-hmm. and more specifically Fayetteville. So I went to school at the University of Arkansas 2016 to 2020, had Zweig as a teacher, but I pursued finance really with the understanding that, hey, you know, my dad was pushing poultry science, actually.
Mm-hmm. We're good at that at U of A. We're like one of the best, if not the best in the country.
But mm-hmm. I meant, I've heard that, and obviously supply chain logistics is strong. So
number one there, too. Yeah.
So why I chose finance was more the freedom of having a translative skill mm-hmm. that you always need to know how the numbers flow in and out of a business. So
nothing wrong with finance, for sure.
That's right. And I... Mm-hmm. I always had this entrepreneurial itch. There were many sort of burned out businesses that I tried in high school with buddies and mm-hmm. Got a taste there, but I've always had that entrepreneurial itch. And I think my biggest downfall is I've never known how to put myself in the exact business that I want to start. So I never knew what it would look like, if it would be a technology product or a physical product like we're sitting here today with this. But I did pursue finance with the intent of entrepreneurship at some point in my life. So I graduated during COVID, no graduation. It's an online ceremony.
Yeah, that was disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah, talking about the digital age, I mean, we took a big leap there with the online graduation. So, you know, the job market was haywire. I wanted to reinvest into myself in that time and figured, let's let this, you know, blow over, see how COVID shakes out. So I had an MBA program picked out abroad in Italy, and I was just going to roll over after graduating 2020 and then kick it off in September 2021 in Italy. However, the border restrictions, northern Italy was just decimated with COVID and the infrastructure. That got postponed a full year, so I took a gap year in between there, went back home to Kansas City, met the love of my life. We're now engaged today, Peyton.
Awesome.
And she went to the university as well, was an engineer at Bell Engineering, and we never met at Arkansas. She was a year older than myself, so it was great timing that, you know, we had time to develop our relationship with a pseudo gap year between, I still wanted to pursue that MBA. It was just a year post.
Sure.
I work out at Breckenridge, Colorado, being a ski lift operator, experiential job.
That's fun.
Oh man, that was, I got a Stetson hat while I was out there. Like,
You're supposed to then in the summer be a raft guide.
Hell yeah.
Did you do that? That's the career path.
Yeah, man. Raft guy. Yes. Ski instructor.
Yeah,
raft
exactly.
Guy, ski instructor. Heck yeah, man.
You got it.
Freaking.
And party in between.
Bro.
Right?
Yep.
All I've been doing is working for 20 years trying to get back to that day.
I know.
It's fantastic. Like, you don't have to do anything that we're talking about.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We talk about working relentlessly if you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, go be a raft guide and a freaking ski instructor, man.
Yeah. I'm telling you, buddy.
Dude, just chilling.
Man, the quality of life is high. I would say I did one of the most honest jobs on the mountain, being a lift op, where you're shoveling snow all day.
God, it's good for you.
And one of my bosses was younger than myself. So it was difficult complex there of, you know, making sure my snow work looks good. But really, I do appreciate that honest work and that manual.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good to go through that.
It's good for your freaking soul.
Everybody needs it.
It's great for your soul.
Yeah, absolutely. So
then
I didn't do the raft guide. I came back to Kansas City. I figured, hey, I got to get back in the business mindset. So I work at a local bank, the largest community bank in Kansas City, as a assistant there. So helping on really their retail banking side and just getting back in the swing of things to prep myself for the MBA.
Yep.
Then my fiance, girlfriend at the time, she's like, hey, I want to join you on that MBA. So her company gave her the green light, and we went over there
to Italy.
To Italy,
nice.
For a full year, and
my wife's favorite country.
Yep,
loves it.
We're getting married there this upcoming September, so five months.
Wow,
and it's a consortium institute, so they offer it through the University of Arkansas. But there's about 60 American universities that are plugged into CIMBA, and that's what the name of the program is. We had Italian classmates. That also came back to Iowa at the tail end of the program, and we got to host them down in Kansas City for a Kenny Chesney concert, which if you get a bunch of Italians learning country music, there's nothing like that.
Yeah, right?
It's amazing. So following that, though, I'd start interviewing back in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We started looking for, she wanted to join her company again.
What was her company?
Burns and McDonald in Kansas City.
Okay.
It's a big EA firm.
Oh, okay.
Engineering architecture
firm.
Yeah. Used to work with them. It's Y Group in several different ways, but
yeah, strong firm there.
Yeah, I
mean, they're a top company out of Kansas City, and I mean, she was able to talk through the work and remote situation, and then I landed a job with Acre Trader Inc., a startup in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So that was my referring to the corporate experience. Right. I mean, I was one step closer to entrepreneurship, but I was going to be a bigger piece to a small puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But like all startups, I mean, there's volatility in the market shifts, and we're doing our best to pivot our product offering and our investments that we had on our platform. Just a difficult time with sustained interest rates, private capital having different trends of where it wanted to park itself.
Mm-hmm.
And while I thought I was on more of a potentially insulated team, I was on the more opportunistic investment profile. So yeah, we're underwriting permanent crops in California for the most part.
What are those, like almonds and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
They almonds use a lot of water, though. That's all I know.
So much water. And pistachios do as well.
Yeah, yep. Love them, though.
So vineyards as well. That was
love me some almonds, man.
I love them. Love me some pistachios.
Same.
When I was a kid, do you remember when they were red? They were always dyed red, and then your hands were all red. Yeah. I don't do that anymore, thankfully.
I didn't know about it. Well, they are a little pink. That's right.
Well, they dyed them with this red dye. Okay.
Yeah. Well, some pistachios can have that like purple color. But what's cool is underwriting working with some of the top farm operators out in California, that was just fascinating to then go to Whole Foods and see their wonderful pistachios who we actually know the operators that were working producing those pistachios that are just at the finished product package. So just incredible experience there at Acre Trader. Carter and that whole team there, just awesome guys and girls there, and individuals that are very motivated, and they're continuing to chug. So they're gonna figure it out, and I'm rooting for them today. And I was actually laid off in May of 2023. Okay. And right away I was looking at the NWA landscape. We wanted to stay here. But I was at a loss of really what to do next. And so, getting more involved in my church community did impact my early first steps. So I wanted to figure out, what is my identity? How does God want to create through me on this earth and as an entrepreneur? So that was an integral part of my first steps, was just figuring out my identity today. And how can I use that in entrepreneurship? And
did you meet people through the church that were instrumental in sort of helping you develop these options? Or
one of my current partners, Jeff Martin, Custom Home Builders, great team there. They've got a full page ad in there, so they do these coastal style living builds. But he's just been a mentor that I grab coffee with once every week, and we just discuss, God's economy and the greater being that is, and in the direction that it can, knowing your identity today, how does that look in your business landscape too? So really, I think that's important, because I looked at other investment opportunities. I had all that momentum with Acre Trader.
Right.
And it felt like I should go be a financial analyst or associate somewhere to continue to firm up those technical skills of underwriting. But there's a part of myself where I wasn't using my voice, and I don't think I was really highlighting that to the best of my ability, my strongest skill set of connecting with people. So I then started to look at all sorts of owner operator type businesses. Could I start a deck staining business or a fencing business? Really anything under the sun. Because none of those financial roles were materializing. And so I was like, hey, maybe this is the time that I'm called to be working on something entrepreneurial in this town that, there's so much possibility. And I learn about City Lifestyle. So that's on the cover there. And I see the listing actually very cliche on LinkedIn. So it caught my eye. I was probably getting fatigue of searching for what I should be applying myself on. And I find the listing in late July, and I had an offer, really awesome opportunity to join an investment firm in Kansas City. They actually handcrafted this role to be something on the portfolio team, but I actually said no to that because I wanted to stay in Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We had a great community, had great mentors like Jeff who were investing in us, and we're on the right path there. And it then became important not to tease ourselves with other markets. Let's just try to find something here. And so then I saw City Lifestyle was looking. When I say that, that's the national brand. So they're actually based out of Kansas City, and they were looking for a local publisher to purchase the franchise rights for the Fayetteville market. And what that entails is, for one, you're going to buy the franchise rights. So that's no success that you're just plugging it in and it's going to operate itself.
Right.
I'm fully funded.
It's not plug and play.
Exactly. And I'm fully funded by my business partners, of which we have 35 today. And I'm forever thankful for, because they're affording us to create and produce this each month.
When you say business partners, you mean advertisers?
Yeah, so that's a
okay. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure everybody knows you don't have 35 partners in your business.
Exactly, that's a good distinction there.
Okay.
Another aspect of that syntax is when we call people to meet with a business, they're like, "Well, you mean just to pay you for advertising?" Yeah. And I think that's been one of the biggest things to get over for me is I don't see myself as a salesman at all. Mm-hmm. I don't come from the trade of sales. All I know is that I wanted to create with my hands and create a physical product. And I thought City Lifestyle and this opportunity to start this in Fayetteville is a good avenue to do that. So I just tell people to get level with a business, a small business owner. And I say, hey, I don't know ad sales. Like if I only sell this as advertising, I'm going to burn out myself. This is more about us creating a local product here in the market. And I just see that as putting the right team members in place. And there's been all sorts of blessings with that.
Your sincerity and your intelligence and lack of stereotypical salesman characteristics probably benefits you greatly when you're out there selling. Seriously.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Eric?
Totally. 100%.
Yeah, because they're going to, you'll disarm people.
Yeah.
Because people
will support you.
Right.
Because you're a good, genuine person.
Exactly.
You know, and you're working, and everybody appreciates that. I mean,
right. He's a good looking guy.
That's really kind. I mean,
no neck tattoos. I mean, that's,
You haven't seen this?
Nothing says I don't want a job more than a visible neck tattoo. That's what we used to say.
Yeah.
But no, I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that. Everybody's got them these days except me. I can see that you could be effective as a seller, though, because you're not selling. You're just out there trying to form relationships with people, mutually beneficial.
Trying to help the community. And you're helping out your advertisers. You're genuinely like, hey, I will work hard to get your brand exposed to my readership. And, I mean, that's what all the other ones that are bigger don't do. And they have really great salespeople. Yeah. They're trained, right, with tactical, freaking trap setting questions and all those types of really fancy things and sales.
Closing scripts.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I've had to lean on Mark for some advice and you yourself having experience in publications. I mean, I will never step out of the role of being the ultimate person to meet with a business owner and to say, hey, is this the right thing for you to do? I don't see myself bringing in just an ad specialist that's closing the deal, because it's not about the volume of deals we're closing. It's about establishing strong partners and the fact that, hey, I'm living in this small community also.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to coincide and we're going to create an awesome product together. But I am very fortunate for the 35 and really 35 today. I started at 25 in January. So we've had some strong growth of,
sure, you have
partners each month who have caught on with this concept. And I think those first 25, I mean, that was the most difficult part, because backing up to where we were at in the story, really when I learned about City Lifestyle, I take the call with them and they're like, hey guy, we like your energy, but we're interviewing people with ad experience, marketing experience.
Right.
But you kind of have a motor that we like. We're going to give you the franchise rights. So I actually borrowed an initial investment from my dad. So in terms of business partners, he is now a business partner of mine, but I just totally appreciated the finance skills that were there also, that borrow capital, apply it to a small business, scale it, and then return that capital. So then in the process of that with my business partner, but this first 25 partners between August and December, that was recruiting people when I didn't have anything with
me. Right. Now you've got examples of what the product looks like and people are becoming aware of it, talking about it. So that makes it far more valuable.
Right. So,
and it's not just an idea, it's a tangible.
Yeah. Those early partners, I mean, those are invaluable relationships.
Sure.
You saw something in the product. I mean, there was limited risk, really. If I faded out and couldn't launch it, and to launch it, I needed to cover my production costs so we could even print 8,000 of these and send them into the Fayetteville community.
Right.
And you have to hit that threshold before City Lifestyle will say, hey, we're going to bring you in to, I mean, you're already trained at that point, which I took the training with a grain of salt because I, again, didn't want to feel like a salesy, you know, seasoned sales guy. So, yeah, those 25 partners certainly took a risk in a sense of saying, hey, we're going to place our chips on you if you get this launch, and we'll commit to, you know, this length of advertising with your publications.
Did the franchisor have, did they help you with identifying those prospects?
Yeah. So what the franchise offers, what's really awesome is I love the curation of the personal touch of being a local franchise owner. So you go into a Eureka Pizza, there's a limited amount of ways that that business owner would really want to show their personality. If you think about it, things stay pretty in the lane, but this whole concept is all about tailor it to your market. So all the businesses you partner with are tailored to Fayetteville. All the content you're writing with your team is tailored to Fayetteville. But to answer your question, they have, they support, they have a great home office in downtown Kansas City, and they have a full CRM software
tool.
They
can kind of look and, but, so they might give you a hit list, but they're not setting meetings for you, or are they setting meetings for you?
They don't do any of that. That's all sweat equity of
good job
being the owner locally.
Yeah, I mean, coming out with 25 advertisers.
That's what I'm trying to
That's pretty doggone impressive.
No, man, that's good.
Out of the gate. I mean,
that's
let's
well
be
done.
Honest.
Let's, well
I mean,
done, man.
I mean, that's my
And you're selling
really.
Something intangible.
Yeah.
And you're selling
no
something that's not digital software, AI, all the sexiness and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
Not it's not immediate. I don't want any advertising. I don't know exactly, you know, how it leads to the sale.
That's right. I need deep analytics.
Yes.
With great visualizations and interpretation.
Yeah,
right?
Not everything works like that. It's not.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, so you beat the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the greatest strategy was not. I tried cold calling, and that is not something that I fancy or I'm strong suited at. So I
we've only met like one person. Remember back in the day at Zy Group, that one person that was cold calling.
Yeah,
just cold call frenzy, bro.
Oh,
all day microphone headset, just click, click, click.
Yeah, we used to be taught when I started out at grad school, and I worked in a firm, and we had to sell our own work. We were chastised if we set the phone in the cradle. No, you held the phone, you disconnected, and you dialed.
Because it could waste time.
Why? Yeah. Why
aren't you making another call?
Exactly.
It's simple.
You set it in the cradle. What was that for? You know?
What?
That's funny.
But yeah.
Efficiency. I mean, that's probably a high volume type of way to sell.
But it did work if you did it.
So go call him up for you.
But you didn't do that.
I'm in my match with this one cold call. It's funny. Like, I would see a plumber driving down the street.
Yeah.
And I'd see the numbers on the back of the car, and I'm dialing. And I'm like, hey, I just saw your car down the street. Mm-hmm. I actually own this publication, but it's not real yet. I mean, you know, because there's a limit. Like, I didn't have a product yet. So that was the toughest part.
Yeah, they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
When I meet this plumber, and he had done ad sales when he was my same age, and he was just grilling me. I mean, he goes,
that's awesome.
Oh, give me your full pitch.
Can I ask who it was?
I honestly forget the name.
Okay.
But,
no worries.
It was.
I just wondered if it was anybody I knew.
Man, I got grilled, and I think he appreciated the grilling. I mean, he wanted to teach me a little bit through raking me over the coals, but.
Boy, it sounds like a guy I know is a plumber. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. It was. So at that point, then, I mean, really, there is a.
So what did that teach you, though, when he did that?
It taught me to have thick skin. It taught me that people get called a lot on random things. So how do I set myself in a lane of showing, hey, this is so intentional to Fayetteville. When I work with you, we're going to have events. You're going to be in our print publication, digital. We want a social media highlight. We want to be diversified. How do I step out of that lane and not just be that person calling somebody? And how do I break down the barriers of somebody's aggression over the phone immediately to somebody that they think is just trying to take from them, but show that this is us growing together? I mean, what is the point of advertising? It's that it brings you business. And so I think... Like,
isn't this guy great though? Can you see what I mean?
Yeah, I love it.
And see, I can see why you've been successful though. A, you're not a fast talker. B, you don't use tons of cliches. C, you seem intelligent. D, you're not high pressure. Okay.
Yeah.
E, you immediately communicate your honesty for the lack of a tangible product yet or experience as a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to break some barriers down with that.
So I appreciate
I think
that.
It's very clear. And you did 25 right out of the gate. That's awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome, man.
And the goal is to retain these partners. So to treat them well throughout, now it's more management of how do we manage this asset that's there. So I need to bring in the right team members as this grows. So I'm not spread too thin trying to do it all myself. So that's around learning that. And what I'm really most excited about is the next step this next month. I'm bringing in a really talented creative director who had experience with Cityscapes, had experience with writing content for Sam's Club. So she's very seasoned and she's going to step in as, hey, can I help manage the direction of your content calendar? Okay. How do we work with ad partners and give them features where it doesn't all pay to play, you know?
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, people need to learn something new about Fayetteville. It doesn't need to be all, lost in translation of people think every piece is paid for.
Right.
So that's what we're figuring out and really excited for May and really starting in June, we're doing a feature with Mark.
Awesome.
Well, hell, that's why he's here right now. You're freaking hooking him up with some free stuff now so we get a big feature, Mark.
We already had this long
discussion.
I'm just kidding, man.
Maybe we wanted to get Gavin on here.
That was probably a bad joke. Audience, okay?
This is a small business focused podcast, and he is an archetypal example.
I just feel like I should get paid a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
My difficulty was I knew I wanted to cover the Mark Zweig profile, but like, where do you start with like Mark? Because he's had so much success with Zweig Group, and so I think evententally we want to tell that story.
No, dude, you got to. I mean, yeah. Mark Zweig's a freaking icon, man.
Oh, come on, Eric, please.
I mean, you're a gosh dang freaking. I mean, you're the mentor of mentors, bro.
You're making me blush. You're making me blush.
But no, it's a fantastic story.
Absolutely.
The greatest thing, though, in my opinion, and why I like teaching at the university is because of guys like Gavin. And then seeing how they blossom post-graduation and having a relationship over probably as long as I live, you and I will have some kind of a relationship and I'll see you progress. And now he's a business owner. Now he's creating jobs for people.
That's right.
Now he's helping area businesses. And
that's great.
And that's just a wonderful feeling. You know, it's a very positive feeling.
Well, it's like
so this, that's why I do.
Absolutely. Like they say, like a lot of the deep philosophers of the day, right, talk about like, the only thing that really brings you happiness in life is helping other people.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, like all the money in the world, like, and I think that's a good statement for entrepreneurism, right? Just like you're talking about, but also, Gavin, what you've been talking about with what you're trying to do is you're trying to help businesses. Like if you genuinely, legitimately are doing that, you're creating a product that's valuable for them. You're looking at them as partners. You know, everything you're talking about, I mean, you're helping. So that helps you feel good about what you're doing. You're not trying to make a buck.
Yeah.
People can sniff that shit.
True.
It's so true. I mean, Joey Book is now a sales manager at Lewis Automotive Group.
Yeah.
He didn't know anything about selling cars. Matt Lewis hired this guy. I think he recruited him. He was selling appliances at Lowe's, and he just liked him.
Yeah.
And Joey never really knew much about cars at all. But his attitude, I'm like, and, he was out there selling 250 cars a year. And I'm like, consistently. And I'd said to him, I'm like, Joey, how do you sell so many cars? He goes, I just like to help people.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't sell anything. They tell me what they want, and then I help them get it.
It's so simple.
And that's it. That's it.
But think about it.
It's the secret to selling.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And as you said, you then feel good about it, which is motivational for you.
Totally.
If you felt like you were hurting people and just taking their money, a guy like you is not going to do it. You're too principled.
Right.
That's the thing. I would.
He just wouldn't even consider it.
Well, the burnout would be immense if your only value is a quick transaction.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to see this each one of my partners at a coffee shop. And do I want that encounter to be a joyous moment that's warm and it's, hey, how are you doing?
Yes.
But I don't want to feel like, oh, I just, I took your money and you're advertising with us now.
You're right. You're so right.
I think it is an important principle. And really, it's a small market. I don't know how many brick and mortar stores there are, but even if I meet with a business and it doesn't end in a partnership, that's not a closed door in my mind. It's
right.
I made
just not right on, now.
Yeah, not right now. Right now. Maybe in 6 months.
Right, or maybe with another business that you get, or maybe with one of your friends who needs help with their business. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, well, Gavin, I think you're going to be all right, bro.
I think he is too.
With that mentality. I mean, you know, people complicate things too much, you know, and I mean, especially, and I kind of applaud you too, because you're also, and especially in today's time, Mark and I have talked about it quite a bit, like this raise capital, you know, go out on pitches, drive all this capital and do this big software that's going to change the entire freaking planet Earth, you know, and it's this rat race of just intangibles. Yes. And, you know, and everybody's counting on one home run out of 10 in a business to work out. And then everybody that all the other nine are just kind of left to face their own fears and their own failures all by themselves, you know, but they don't ground themselves on business principles. What I like about what you're doing is you're actually stepping into a business in a traditional sense. I mean, I'd call it traditional in today's time, because you've gone back and you're like, okay, what's the value that I'm delivering here? I can see it. People can see it. I can feel it. I can freaking smell it. No, everybody likes the smell of freaking gloss print, man.
Eric loves magazines and is a marketer extraordinary.
I do. I love it, man. And then you're helping the community out. You're bringing businesses together. You're bringing the public to businesses and the businesses to the public. You know, and I just think, I applaud you on that effort, because here's the other thing I'd say is that, like, you're going against the grain, which back in my day, it was the grain, right? But now it's against the grain as far as the print pub, the business that you chose. Like, there's some point in your time, I mean, you're going through the process of talking to the franchisor and you're making these decisions. You're kind of floating around, not knowing what to do, you know, but you could have gone a lot of directions. But the one direction that's for certain is that you did something that was outside your comfort zone. You didn't know really anything about. It's not something that all your friends are doing and your colleagues. It's probably anti the advice that a lot of the people that are around you are giving. I mean, that's freaking entrepreneurship, man.
It is. You're right. You're so right about that.
I mean, that everything y'all are saying, that's very kind. I think there's a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do, but I think it is just I think the constant always in the back of my head is, as soon as I get a little comfortable, it creeps back in my head where I got to get outside and be around people. Because the more I'm sitting behind my computer or working on something, it's like, am I connecting with a partner right now? And that's just an internal clock that's always going to be there. So I think
it's a high achiever right there.
You got to be very comfortable,
self-motivated. So let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you go from here with this publication? I mean, in this business.
Yeah.
Whatever the potential is, there is a max potential for this.
There is a max potential.
I don't know what it is. And you're not there by any means. But at some point, you will hit that, hopefully. Yeah. So then what?
Yeah, that's a great... Did you have something to add?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question, because I ask myself that probably every day. And... as long as I keep watering it and it keeps growing, that's really my day-to-day. I'm going to take that daily bread and make the most of it and try to keep nurturing this asset. And for me, I know that life's a long game and this is probably not my final form of what I'm doing. I just don't know what that looks like next.
Okay.
But I would love to create the first 3 years of it are very important. My longest term partners are a 3-year commitment. So that being said,
wait a minute, whoa. Back up. You don't have 3-year contract signed, do you?
So it's 30. There could be a 36 magazine one, and it has an 18-month opt out free. So if I really start loosening up on my game and the product is not looking as attractive, and maybe they want to go market elsewhere, they can opt out free at 18 months. But my greatest contracts are would be 36 magazines.
Dude, see, sometimes not knowing anything about the industry is a blessing.
Yeah, because I was probably naively going in there. Yeah, and everyone's the rest like, there's six sales, magazines.
You'd be crazy. Like, you can't sell anybody on that.
12-month agreement is fantastic.
Yeah, that's your standard. Okay. It's your standard.
You try for that, and then you go for like a quarter.
And that's why those founding partners are so gracious. I mean, really, because they didn't even know what my Fayville product would look like. And we want to be stewards.
So you signed some 36 issues
before you had a product.
Before you had a product?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was really
amazing.
Leaning on other examples of other strong markets. So I'd take the Boulder, Colorado magazine with me.
Yeah.
That publisher's got a very, that's like Final Form, what a benchmark to strive for. He has a 120-page publication in Boulder's.
Holy cow.
Deep, vastly different market in terms of architecture and interior design. I think we could rival
that. It's probably not as big of a market as ours, is it?
It runs parallel pretty well. I think they're around 90,000 population.
Okay. Yeah, you're not focusing on NWA. It's important.
Yeah.
You're focusing on Fayetteville.
And there is one launching in Bentonville and Rogers, and I've met with those publishers, and that just further gives credibility to the brand.
Right.
So they're able to have intimate publications in those markets.
Yeah, sometimes it is annoying that everything's lumped together because these communities have such vastly different personalities.
Right.
You know, like right here where we are in Rogers is just like the explosive new, thing. Fayetteville's keeping it funky with the university and Springdale's got Tyson and all the revitalization of their downtown area. And Bentonville, of course, has Walmart and software companies and bicycling.
Yep.
But they're just different. And so I like that.
And we don't have to be breaking news. That's the thing. It's like we could key up the docket of stories in Fayetteville, that could go for miles. That could go for years of writing stories that aren't breaking news because we're a monthly publication.
Well, if you need any help with that, please talk to me.
Absolutely.
Because I've got lots of ideas for you.
Yeah.
I really do.
For like features and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Features and people and things that are interesting that are happening in Fayetteville. For sure.
Yeah, and that's a creative director is from Fayetteville who's going to be stepping in. And so I'm excited to get her plugged in on the content calendar.
So she starts next month, May?
Yep.
And is this your first hire?
No, so, not W-2. Everybody's contracted out, but I do have 3 writers.
On contract.
Now 2 photographers. Kind of a video contractor that's been, we're figuring out a good rhythm there. And now she's going to be stepping in as creative director. And we do a monthly meeting, get everybody aligned. It's the blessing of being in a college town also that you have so many talented individuals that want to hang around a town like Fayetteville.
I know. There really is a talent pool there to tap into.
And all these people that you know them from college, like how did you get connected with these freelancers?
Man, there's been all sorts of serendipitous moments. And
just being plugged in as a publisher, word of mouth, you meet folks somewhere. And here.
I remember meeting the photographer. She had just moved here from Auburn, Alabama. So she's starting her book of business. So what better way to showcase and profile, but really put you in uncomfortable situations because she was a wedding photographer. So now she's shooting a lot of product and editorial stories.
So does your franchisor design this and lay it out in print?
So that's another aspect of the creative director. She will choose they're called recipes, but layouts. And she can totally manipulate the coloring. And then, so any of the colors of the editorial stories. And then how many pictures are going to go in there.
Your creative director will choose from a template from the franchisor. And then y'all can manipulate that to personalize it.
And they have a lot. They
sound like they're pretty advanced.
Yeah, I'm interested in just how their model is too.
That's very interesting.
That's another entrepreneurial.
It's cool learning about. I mean, they were founded 15 years ago, and
how many
incredible growth. We are So there's 190 publications in local markets, and we're probably hitting over 250.
Wow.
Middle of next year. It's something crazy, like the growth, but
yeah,
that's because there is, I mean, it shows that there is opportunity with this and there's a resurgence.
Who owns, is it owned by a corporation or?
It's privately held in Kansas City.
Good for them.
And it's a great process. I love how they reinvest mm-hmm. into the product. So our, you know, if you think about each local market, they're able to provide those recipes, mm-hmm. which there's maybe not hundreds, but there is a plentiful amount of styles of laying out an article that you can choose from. Then you can swap in the colors that fit that brand that will really make sense in your publication.
That's very cool. I would love this really cool. idea.
Yeah. It's a great and the personalization of your publication.
Yeah. So you actually got some value out of the franchise instead of just creating this on your own, because a certain amount of legwork was done, probably helped with like contracts for advertising, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep. You had your ad insertion orders.
Right.
Done.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a whole process for onboarding and getting people plugged in. I really love the interface for a client, because if you think about a lot of these small business owners, like aside from the price or the term, a big commitment of it is, hey, is this bringing on a job for myself to get you my ad every month?
Mm-hmm. We have a form. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like,
which
you can provide your own ad, but we also have an ad design team. And so that's fully included. So if you are
it's like an ad agency built into the publication.
For the small businesses, they don't have agencies of record.
Right. Exactly.
And or marketing people.
I think the ad designer at the home office, there's a team there, and they all have different accounts of local pubs that they work with. But they start to learn a brand and what business is looking for every month when they submit. It's like a five-step question of putting somebody down a path of getting that first ad iteration back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that client can say, hey, this is not what I'm looking for at all. I want to go this direction. So you can iterate up to six times and get to that final ad that you like, but you're just submitting your collateral, your logo, photo.
Love it. Do you get up to Kansas City, see the corporate office very often?
I've been up there a few times, yeah.
Good.
So that's smart. Family's up there, so I...
Oh, yeah, that's true. But that's good. You should. You should... I would advise that you continue to build relationships there.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be important.
They'll be more helpful.
Well, yeah. And quicker you talk about response. You brought up this max, the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, part of your journey is keep connecting. And this is an obvious one to connect with, because your ceiling may be here, but that ceiling is probably right back there. Right?
Absolutely.
So,
So let me ask you, will you be able to make a living off this thing? Or is this like giving up something for the public good? I mean, I'll be honest.
Well, that would depend on the retention we have with our partners. I think, you know, not to say that we, you know, obviously if a partner needs to go market somewhere else or it's not working for them.
Right.
With all due respect, we're just not going to be partners anymore. I have to appreciate that aspect. And I won't retain everybody. I understand that. It's definitely a vehicle that's highly productive right now. But there were some bleak months when I was watching my runway of severance at a startup company shrink and I'm modeling it out and I'm like, hey, I got this much to live on. And I buy an engagement ring to throw a curveball in there. So then things really escalated with debt involved with taking credit on with the ring. So, I mean, all things considered, I'd like to continue to grow this so it can be, more sustainable long-term.
I saved the big diamond for wife number three. Now, I will say wife number two, I went to Tiffany's, which is overpriced.
But a great gesture.
It was a good gesture. The box was greatly appreciated and the quality.
Yeah.
But the big diamond was wife number
three. Well, I don't know if you saw the back cover. It's Romance Diamonds.
I know the Broshes. They're friends of mine. Chris Brosh was a student.
Yeah, I love Chris. I played Ultimate Frisbee with him.
Chris is a great guy.
Yeah, they're awesome people.
And his dad is a great guy.
Yeah.
And Brittany.
Patrick. Adair.
Yeah, Patrick's a great guy. Been a friend. And Brittany Adair, which is Patrick's daughter.
Yep.
They're good people. So I love Romance Diamond. I bought plenty of stuff from them over the years.
Yeah, once we had the back cover, that's really a prime real estate spot. That's sure when momentum was really trending upwards to where I was like, all right, we're going to launch this thing here locally.
Yeah.
So that was a big swing there.
Good for them. Good for them for supporting you too.
I know.
We speaking of local, we watched that movie Mind Cage last night that was filmed here locally.
I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't you seen that? Mm-hmm. John Malkovich and Martin Lawrence. And my oldest daughter is a stunt double in that. She's really? The one who rides the horses for the governor character. But anyway, it was interesting that it was all in Fayetteville. There were some shots right in front of Romance Diamond Company.
Oh, my gosh.
Some video footage. You might want to capture that.
That's a story.
That.
We might need to source some of those actors. And
yeah, you should look into that. Like. Yeah. I mean, there's more movies being filmed in Fayetteville. I think it would be an interesting article.
Absolutely.
Even if you just covered some of the movies and you got some stills and some of the stars that we've had.
Yeah.
Who makes the decision on your editorial? Or is that
the creative director now or along with Gavin, I would guess, right?
Yeah, so it might have been and that's the thing too. It's stepping into a media publication, you know, that world. What's the norm? Like, how do you organize your content calendar? So I get into Excel and I make gut feel every month. We do have some themes to go by.
No, the themes, you just set a schedule and you put it out there because your advertisers want to know that September's the banking issue or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it might be rudimentary, but we do have a Excel calendar that it's built out 12 months and we're filing in.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it, man. Yeah, there's no other way. Yeah. Everybody tries to get cute. Ain't no way.
Editorial calendar.
Definitely don't put it in Slack.
Oh, my God.
My God.
Yeah.
I was on a meeting yesterday. No, I swear to you. And it came up, okay? Well, I'd like to put this in Slack because I don't want to be emailing. It's like, we don't even have friggin' Slack. So we've got to learn on check a whole new application because you don't want to send emails out to everybody? What the hell is easier than Outlook?
My favorite is when people say, I'm like, why do you use Slack? And they're like, it's faster than email. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
How fast is email? I mean, by sending you one, you get it.
It's like, why does that?
It's optically more
they
aesthetic.
They all won't respond anyway, right? They won't respond in a timely basis.
Dude, I open up Slack, and I am immediately stressed to the highest maximum.
I'm with you.
The notifications.
Like, what are you talking? And I'm sitting there looking at it going, there's been 58 conversations, and you have DMs and all that. I'm like, I just shut it down. It's overwhelming as hell.
I just hate the name of it. It just pisses me off.
It's a fun outlet.
This episode's been brought to you by Slack. Right, Mark?
Yeah.
It's a fun outlet, but stuff can get totally lost there more than email even. So,
hey, Gavin, you know, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing. I really do. I think that you're, you know, I mean, it's interesting on this episode. I hope what the audience and our listeners are getting out of here, right? There's quite a few things, you know? I mean, like you're coming to the table. You didn't have, you know, you don't have an expertise in a certain field. You're not, I mean, yeah, you're using your learnings, but at the same time, you're definitely learning a lot more than what you were learning, right? In this business, you're stepping out there. You talked about getting thick skin and you're growing. I mean, every conversation you're having, you're learning something, you're growing and you're helping people and you're trying to you're adding jobs and you're taking it in steps that you know a lot of people are just scared to death about making the moves that you've made in the last year. Like 99% of the people out there would not do what you're doing.
Even I appreciate that.
Yeah I mean I think that's just a that's what being an entrepreneur is about, right? I mean, so I was actually talking to Jeremiah up front. We were talking about entrepreneurism before we did this episode. And one of the things I mentioned, and this will resonate with you, Gavin, is like, because you mentioned you got, you know, your dad, right, is put some money in. You know, a lot of folks might, and I've had this happen to me, actually, where I was like, I've gotten some help from my parents in the past, you know, younger in my businesses, and I borrowed some money. I've got it all paid back now. Yeah. But they, folks are like, well, that's why. I'm like, that's not why I've been able to make it. No. Because I'll tell you this.
They don't know you if they think that's why. Holy cow.
Well, right. And it kind of like softens the credibility. And you're like, look, when I borrowed money from my folks, there was nothing that was helpful for me from an – I mean, it didn't like help me get anywhere. It helped me survive and get through some real shit times is what happened.
Right.
But I now not only do I have my problems in business, but I owe money to the people that I'm around. Yeah. And then you go to Christmas and then you go to Thanksgiving.
And that's like they're judging.
Yeah, and you're shameful, money. You know?
It's like you bought a $3,000 used car. Can you afford that?
Right. You owe me $5,000.
The only time I ever borrowed any money from my mom and dad was when I was moving from DFW to Boston. And I sold my fourth house in DFW, and I got a check for $1,100. I had to buy a house in Boston. Mm-hmm. I borrowed $5,000 from my mom on 12 months, 12% interest. Okay, true story. Gosh. So, and paid her monthly. Mm-hmm. And so one night she calls. It's like, what are you doing? I said, well, we ordered pizza or whatever. You can afford to order pizza? I swear to you. No, depression era. Okay. I mean, as far as she was concerned, we should go get the Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, where are the ramen noodles?
She wanted.
And make it up. Exactly.
She's like, you got dust to pay, son.
Yes.
And I love it, man.
Well, it was never late with a payment or anything. You know
what's interesting? Like, there's different ways to do judgment. This. When I was talking to Jeremiah up front, I was like, it dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute, I did borrow a couple times to do something for the business, but most of the time that I was ever borrowing, it was for me. It was because I couldn't pay myself.
Yeah.
I needed a couple of G's to get through the next 30 days,
so
bro.
You lived so cheap, too. When you moved out of your big house and got, divorced the first time, I hope it's okay for me to say that to the audience, but you moved into your rental house that you had.
Okay? Oh, yeah, man.
And you always had cheap cars, and you just didn't spend anything.
No,
you can, when somebody says don't spend, you can just, not spend
tighten
at all.
Up, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I remember I had one of my employees come after, right in that time period when I moved back in that rental house. And I had, a get-together or something for the team. And he comes one and he's like, you're the CEO of this company? I'm like, man, okay, listen.
Not like that.
Right. Yeah. I used to have my big 4,000 square foot house. With the crazy circular staircase that dumped out by the, remember that thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've actually redone all that. It looks
did
pretty
they?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
I think that, I applaud you on that, right?
Well, I was just going to add to what you were saying to paint some more color to this situation. It doesn't make it easier. It just, the only thing that it increases the ease into is your drive to get out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're like, all right, now my dad's my partner. I can't flop. I can't let this fail. So if there was a why as to how it makes it easier, it's that it gets your motor going more.
That's right.
But it certainly doesn't change anything about the grind of getting something launched.
No, that's right. And I've seen people that would take that and they don't have that feeling that you do, right? That's another testament to you being in the right frame of mind for being an entrepreneur, is that it does encourage you to do more. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've seen people that would get that and then they don't. They actually relax.
Right.
A lot of people, man, it's not as much about the intensity of the grind as much as it is the longevity of a grind and building a business. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks I've seen that they just can't hang with that. Like, I mean, it's, in my experience, it is intense and long.
Yeah.
The double whammy, man.
That's like, double whammy.
Yeah. I mean, I've always told folks, like, to me, I always use it like owning a business is like a marathon sprint. Because you are going as fast as you can, and you have to go a long time, and as hard as you can. And there's a lot of folks that can't handle that, And so if you relax because you get some capital, actually you're doing the opposite of what you should be doing. And so if you don't have that innate sense of, okay, now I owe, and I have to pay back and I'm obligated to this, and you can handle that pressure, then he might not be an entrepreneur.
Right.
So this is exciting, man. I hope that I would love to help you any way I can in this as
it's
well.
It's a great resource, Eric. It's amazing.
I'll make sure you're sent one too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'd love
my every month.
Yeah, dude, and I'll read your letter from the publisher.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
That was always my favorite part of the magazine. Letters, express yourself.
Yeah, keep it refreshing in there.
Letters to the editor are always my favorite parts. It's the domain of the insane, those who write them and those who read them. But it's been great having you on here, Gavin, and really appreciate you and what you're doing for Fayetteville.
Man, I just want to say thank y'all very much. I love what y'all are doing with this podcast. I'm going to be tuning in.
We're changing the world, bro.
Absolutely.
One business, one listener at a time, right?
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of listeners.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this show, please like, subscribe, share, post, repost. Send us a question. If you like something in one of our episodes, then make a request. Bring somebody back in. You have an idea for somebody that we should have on the show? Let us know. I can promise you one thing. If you do send an email to the email on the website, I think it's info@bigtalkaboutsmallbusiness.com, you will absolutely 100% positively be in touch with Mr. Mark Zweig and myself. We both get it. And man, Mark don't play when it comes to email time. This ain't Slack, baby.
We will respond to you.
Mark is one of the fastest responding folks I've ever met in my life. It's intimidating. So shoot that and you will get his response.
Hey, and beyond that, if you just want to send us a bunch of money and be a sponsor of this, where we'll talk you up constantly throughout the show.
I just brought one publication. I didn't.
Mark, is it that he's got 30 plus partners? And we don't.
We don't have good salespeople. I mean, what can I say?
I thought you were selling. Did you think I was selling?
I did.
I think it's a miscommunication.
That's what happened.
I know. We should learn from Gavin.
We should, man. I got.
We're just not that serious yet. Is the truth of it. You know,
we get some of our partners on here. I mean, I have 35 that I could put it out there. They're all small business owners.
Hey, if you don't mind, if you can go back out to reach out to them and offer them a sponsorship.
Tell them there may be some opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't take just anybody. I'm serious. We don't take just anybody. Right. We have rejected some people.
Many. In fact, we've rejected all of them.
We're looking for good. We're looking for people that we think have something to offer our listeners. And obviously, the same thing applies to any sponsors.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks so much, Gavin. And we'll see you around. And I look forward to our next breakfast.
Yep. Farmer's Table will be there.
And meantime, this has been another episode of
Big Talk About Small Business.
All right, we got Gavin to join in the end.
We did,
man. I love
that.
Okay.
It's good.
Y'all be good.
See you next week.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Big Talk About Small Business. If you have any questions or ideas for upcoming shows, be sure to head over to our website, www.bigtalkaboutsmallbusiness.com. And click on the Ask the Host button for the chance to have your questions answered on the show. Stay connected with us on LinkedIn at Big Talk About Small Business. And be sure to head over to our website to read articles, browse episodes, and ask questions about upcoming shows.